I trust this morning that you'll pray for me, that the Lord will bless me to preach to you. I want to read from the second chapter of 2 Timothy. This chapter is basically to the ministry, but I think anybody trying to live a Christian life would need the exhortation from it. Thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's a wonderful admonition. He tells Timothy, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And there's a therefore in this verse, so we probably need to go back and find out what it's there for. In the first chapter, I think there's one of the greatest lessons taught concerning what Jesus Christ accomplished for his people on the cross. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now that's grace. Amen. And that's the grace that Paul is instructing Timothy to be strong in. Not in your strength, not in your knowledge, not in your wisdom, but be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Realizing that we are all sinners, and we need God's grace in our lives, even to live a Christian life. I tell you what, living a preacher's life is not easy. But living a Christian's life is not easy either. So we all need the grace of God. And then he says, and the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Most of what I know, most of what I've learned, I've been taught by faithful men. I think this is one of the best verses in the Bible to teach church succession or perpetuity. If a church is preaching and teaching what the apostles taught, and they are practicing what the Bible teaches, then you can pretty much prove that that is the church that Jesus set up and established in the world. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Thou therefore, my son, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Preachers are soldiers, and we are in an army. Now, I never was in the military, but I've talked to a lot of people that have been in the military, and they've been in it, some of them had been in it during the war times. They knew what it was to sleep on a hard ground, eat rations out of a can. A soldier's life is not easy. Preachers this day and time have it easy compared to what they had a long time ago. A good soldier. I hope that I've been a good soldier. I thought about coming down here this morning. I was ordained here, I think, in 1970. I joined in February 1968. I thought about my ordination this morning. I doubt very seriously that I should have been ordained when I was. I thought about the knowledge that I had when I was ordained, and I thought about standing in water. And I said, the bottom of my feet probably wouldn't have been completely covered with the knowledge that a minister should have. And I thought about a young man that I was blessed to baptize a few months back. And he's beginning to exercise grace. And I think sometimes when I listen to him, he's got more knowledge than I have. I'm glad of that. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. He's been through parts of three seminaries looking, he said, for the truth. I hope this morning that you and I appreciate what God has blessed us with. The truth of salvation, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, left heaven, came into this world, lived over 33 years and never committed one sin, and gave his life on Calvary's cross to redeem his people from their sins. If you believe that this morning, you're wonderfully blessed. And to some degree, we are all in a battle. Don't ever forget that. I have a battle every day with the flesh. If you don't, I seriously doubt you're a child of God. If you don't have to battle the flesh. The devil gives me a lot of trouble. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That's one thing the primitive Baptists have failed in through the years. Ministers warring and having to make a living for their own families. I've said that I worked for 39 and a half years. No, about 42 years. 39 and a half at the same place. And I'm not ashamed of it because I just call it ministerial support. I remember one time Daddy was down Nobles Lane building a chimney for somebody. Brother Darty and Brother Hancock came from Macon to talk with him. They saw him and said, Brother Elsie, what are you doing? He said, I'm practicing what I preach. They said, what do you mean? He said, I preach ministerial support and I'm building this chimney to help my family live. That's all I'm going to say about that. I could go into a pretty good discussion on that. The husbandman. Now, I know something about this one, really. The farmer. I've picked cotton, hoed peanuts, chopped cotton, just a few hundred yards from here all day long. Farmers got it good now to what they had it when I come along. Farmers don't have to use a hoe no more. They got herbicides to do their weed eating. But when I come along, farming was hard. And I'm looking at some now that knows that farming was a hard job. The husband that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. I've got to preach some things from my experience. Every preacher has to preach things that he's experienced in his life for it to be good and honorable and productive and good for the church. We must know that we have to partake of all the things in this life so that we can present it to God's children in a manner that they can feast on it and grow thereby. Sometimes I don't think we put enough emphasis on fruit. Our Lord said in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. And those fruits are listed for us in the book of Galatians. You and I ought to be bearing them in our lives. He says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Paul tells Timothy, now you need to consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now this chapter is going to get better. He said, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. I've been reading that verse for over 50 years. And I just come to the realization that Paul would have never got in trouble if he hadn't been preaching the resurrection. Remember, that would be like telling an old brother that used to be a member here. He got where he couldn't drive this far, and so he moved his letter to Grace. And I can't even think of his name right now. I'm sure everybody knows him. He was from South Georgia. And I drove up to church one day in a Mitsubishi. He said, Brother Dan said, you shouldn't have bought one of them things. He said, them Japs made it. And said, those Mitsubishi engines is what like to beat us and bomb Pearl Harbor. You tell that old brother something about World War II and his feathers got up. I mean, he got fighting mad. It's about like telling a Texan, remember the Alamo. I want you to remember one thing this morning, that your Lord and your Savior came out of that grave after 3 days and three nights, and He is alive. He's living. He's on the throne this morning at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for poor sinners such as you and I are. Remember that Jesus Christ today is alive. That helps me every morning when I get up. To know that my Savior, who loved me enough to die for me, is alive and well. He's still got the scars, I believe. But he's well. He's still got the power that he had. He was declared to be the Son of God with power. You talking about power, brother. Jesus Christ has got power. He just spoke this whole world into existence. But I don't think he exerted his power when he did that. Remember, if you don't say another thing that I say this morning, you remember that your Savior is alive and in heaven right now, knowing exactly what's going on. Wherefore I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. That's when Paul was bound at this time. But he says the word of God is not bound. And it'll never be bound, my friends. Somewhere in the world, the gospel of the Son of God is going to be declared. And God's children are going to be able to feast on it. You know, I said that second verse is a good verse to use for succession. I've got some pretty good history books, you know. But sometimes in history, you can almost get lost. But you'll never get lost by hearing the things that's been preached now for over 2,000 years. And seeing a church that practices exactly what the apostles taught. Therefore, Paul says, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now, if you're here this morning and you don't know the Bible teaches two salvations, for a few minutes I'm going to teach you. This verse says that there is a salvation in addition to eternal salvation. And that's a salvation that you and I work out while we live here in the world. Now, we can let grass get in our crotch. I hate to mention that, because I planted a little turnip patch and the grass has eaten it up. My knees, both of them, been bad for about... Well, one of them just started hurting when I started limping on the other one. But I'm getting by. But I'm staying out of the garden. I went over to my neighbor's. He's got the prettiest fall crop I've ever seen. And he don't mind me getting in it. So I'm going to just basically let mine go. Everything has been done for the elect family of God to one day to be carried to heaven. The trump is going to sound, and Jesus is coming back, and he's going to take his bride home with him. He's going to be shouting when he comes. That's how happy he'll be. He's going to take his bride home with him, glorified bodies, to live forever and ever. But while you and I live in this world, if you and I are going to enjoy the peace and happiness that's ours, we got to labor for it. You got to keep your garden hoed out. You got to keep the weeds out of it. Somehow or another, I got nut grass in my garden. And that's another reason I'm going to let them grow up. And I've heard that there's something you can spray it with and it'll kill them. That's what I'm going to do this year. And if you've got any nut grass in your garden, in your life, you need to get rid of it. And I need to get rid of it. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall live with him. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, all of his children died with him. And we're going to live with him. And then he says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we suffer, we'll reign with him. But if you deny him, and God's children can't deny their Lord. He'll deny us. And that'll be one of the worst feelings you've ever had. I remember one thing that I did quick. When God blessed me to see the church, and I was a rebel. Most people don't know what I really was, you know. But within 2 months after God blessed me to see the church and to know the church and to hear the gospel, I was a member. I denied my Lord for a few times with a burden, but I didn't deny many. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. Isn't that wonderful? I have people all the time telling me, said, Brother Dan said, all you've got to do is just believe. Well, if you believe not, God's going to abide faithful. It don't matter about that. I do believe this morning that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he died for my sins, paid my sin debt, and he paid it in full, and I want to give him the glory that's due his name. I thought about coming down here this morning I said, "Oh Lord, help us to do one thing right, and that is to worship Thee." That's what we're here for this morning, to worship the Lord. You know what worship means? It's you and I trying to show the Lord what we feel He's worth to us. What is He worth to you this morning? If He's worth anything, worship Him. Give Him the praise and honor and glory that's due His name. May God help us to truly worship our Lord. Are these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. There's no place in our life for strife. And then he tells this young man, he said, "Study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." There's no error in the Bible, but the Bible has to be put in its proper place for us to understand it. Just like the verse above, in addition to eternal salvation, there's another salvation that you and I need to work out. If you don't divide that, then you're more than likely wind up preaching error. I read that verse and I think about it. In over 50 years, I could probably have memorized a great portion of the Bible. There's no doubt about it. I got phone numbers stored up here from many, many, many years ago. As a matter of fact, a lot of people will call me and said, "What's so-and-so's number?" But I've lost some of that since we got these phones that got memory on them. But preachers this day and time have more advantages than they did when I come along. You can learn more now with the internet and all those things, those Bible programs. It's so wonderful, so wonderful. I'll go on just a little bit further. He said, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." Profane and vain babblings. Some of us might have been guilty of that here lately. But the Bible does not teach for us to do that. We're to shun it. Get it out of our lives. A minister is said to be a soldier, an athlete. I don't know why I left that verse out. "And if a man also strive for mastery, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully." He's pictured as an athlete in those Olympic games. And in those games there was judges. I've read all the way around that arena. And if a man didn't play by the rules, he was disqualified. May God help us in our race to play by the rules. Because if we don't, we'll be disqualified. And then a preacher is called a vessel. He's compared to a vessel in this chapter. We should keep our vessels clean. And then a preacher is told, "And the servant of the Lord." He's called a servant. The word servant there means bond slaves. A bond slave is one that can only do what the master said. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God preadventure will give them repentance through the acknowledging of the truth. Now, I'm not exactly sure what that means to oppose themselves. Some of these brethren can tell me, but I know that there are people that do oppose themselves as far as the truth is concerned. But a minister is to labor with those. A minister is to be kind and gentle. Every time I think about gentleness, I think about, and I know I've said this before here, I think about Brother Cecil Daugherty's mama. She was the kindest and most gentle woman I've ever known. I know every time I would try to stand before the church and make a very, very feeble effort, I'd get a letter the next week from Sister Daugherty. Oh, Brother Dan, you did so good. Man. Wouldn't it be better if we all had kind and gentle spirits? May the Lord bless you to get something out of what I said. I want to read one more verse and I'm going to sit down. And I'm going to be very direct when I read it. And I want everybody to listen. It's from the words of our Lord. It's in Mark 3 and 25. If a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Everybody here needs to lay that to heart. If you love Cool Springs Church, when you pray, remember me in your prayers.